ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। दृष्ट्वा आतपे व्रजपशून् सह रामगोपैर् संचरयन्तम् अनु वेणुम् उदीरयन्तम् प्रेम प्रवृद्ध उदितः कुसुम अवलाभी सख्यु व्याधात् स्ववपुषा अम्बुदः आतपत्रम् दृष्ट्वातपे ब्रजपशुन् सह रामगोपे संचर्यन्तम् अनुवेणुम् उदरियन्तम् प्रेम प्रवृद्ध उदित कुसुम आवलीभिः सख्युर्व्यधात् स्ववपुषाम्बुद आत्तपत्रम् दृष्ट्वा तपे व्रजपशुन् सह रामगोपे संचरयन्तम् अनुवेणुम् उदरियन्तम् प्रेम प्रवृद्ध ऊदितः कुसुम आवलाभी सख्युर्व्यधात् स्व वपुषाम्बुद आतपत्रम् दृष्ट्वा तपे ब्रजपशुन् सह रामगोपे संचारयन्तम् अनुवेणुम् उदरियन्तम् प्रेम प्रवृद्ध उदित कुसुमावलीभिः सख्युर्व्यधात् स्व वपुषाम्बुद आतपत्रम् दृष्ट्वा तपे व्रजपशुन् सह रामगोपे संचारयन्तम् अनुवेणुम् उदरियन्तम् प्रेमा प्रवृद्ध उदित कुसुमावलीभिः सख्युर्व्यधात् स्व पशुमाबुध आतपत्रम् दृष्ट्वा तपे व्रजपशुन् सह रामगोपे संचारयन्तम् अनुवेणुम् उदरियन्तम् प्रेम प्रवृद्ध उदित कुसुमावलीभिः सख्युर्व्यधात् स्व वपुषाम्बुद आतपत्रम् लेडीस् दृष्ट्वा सीङ्ग् आतपे इन् द फुल् हीट् आफ् द सन् व्रजपशून् द डोमेस्टिक् एनिमल्स् आफ् व्रज सह टुगेदर् वित् Rama Gope, Lord Balaram, and the covered boys, Sancharayantam, herding together, Anu, repeatedly, Venum, his flute, Udariyantam, loudly playing, Prema, out of love, Pravriddha, expanded, Uditaha, rising high, Kusumavalibhi, the droplets of water vapor, which are like groups of flowers, Sakyu, for his friend, Vyadhat, he constructed Svabhapusha, out of his own body, Ambudha, the cloud, Atapatram, and umbrella. Translation proper by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. In the company of Balaram and the cowherd boys, Lord Krishna is continually vibrating his flute as he herds all the animals of Braja. Even under the full heat of the summer sun, seeing this, the cloud in the sky has expanded himself out of love. He is rising high and constructing out of his own body with its multitude of flower-like droplets of water an umbrella for the sake of his friend. Purport. Srila Prabhupada states in his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the scorching heat of the autumn sunshine was sometimes intolerable, and therefore the clouds in the sky appeared in sympathy about Krishna and Balaram and their boyfriends while they engaged in the blowing their flutes. The clouds served as a soothing umbrella over their heads just to make friendship with Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamala Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padad Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are blessed by Sukhdev Goswami again, who is in his most sweet and picturesque manner giving us various beautiful things happening in the land of Vraja. This is the description of the original Vrindavan, which has no buildings, no dirt, no dirty pigs, no buildings and car horns, no chimneys and pollution. This is the original land as it is. As devotees, we always are talking about as it is, right? Prabhupada's books, Gita, as it is. This is Vrindavan as it is. As it is always. What we are seeing, of course, is the covered Vrindavan. The Avaran is there. Avaranatmika Shakti is one of the Shaktis of Maya. She covers us and she covers the land of Vrindavan also with a thin veil which prevents conditioned souls who are impure from seeing the pure land. the holy land, the kingdom of God. We can't perceive that beautiful land with these gross fleshy eyes. Unless we get prema anjana, unless our eyes are decorated with that anjan of pure love for Krishna, for Krishna's devotees, we shall not be able to see what is being described here. So while we are not at that stage of being pure, we are still not deprived of hearing about it. We don't see it, but we see it through our ears. Because in spiritual life, we are being trained systematically to understand that the superior way of seeing is not seeing with the eyes, but seeing with the ears. So we lay more stress on Shravan than just Darshan. In fact, in the yatras, when we go with Radhana Swami or other senior devotees, we usually want to hear the katha before we visit that temple or that place. Right? Because once we have heard something about that Leela, you're going to Bamshivat, you're going to, you know, Belpukur or wherever you're going, if you hear about that place, you meditate, you absorb, you understand, you create a mood of eagerness to visit that place, and when you actually go to the place, then you see it with the eye of knowledge. Others seeing whatever the eyes are showing you, but they're not seeing with the eye of knowledge. You're just seeing the gross part of the sensory experience of what is going on, but you're not really seeing it with the eye of knowledge. And therefore your heart can't get absorbed. So here we are blessed because we are able to see, not with our eyes again, as I said, able to see the land of Vrindavan with our ears. So the scene depicted is very beautiful, as we can understand that Krishna is with Balram. You know that famous picture? I don't know whether it's here, but that famous picture of Krishna and Balram, they're walking through with his cows, so many cows, domestic animals, right? They're going through the land of Braja. And Krishna, of course, is his favorite pastime is playing the flute. And it is this time, it is, or the season which is being described is summer season. We just had a summer season, you know, 1 month back, and we know how it was so difficult. So even at Krishna's time, yes, there was hot season, right? But it was not sweltering hot to the point of exhaustion, because the inherent mechanism in Vrindavan is everything is being done for Krishna's pleasure. So even if there is some sun, which is like summer sun, there are other alternative mechanisms inbuilt in Vrindavan whereby the devotees of Krishna and Krishna himself will not feel the heat. So therefore there is description here that how the clouds are cooperating. The clouds are conscious that this is the Lord. And the Lord is now moving in the hot sun. So the clouds move. The clouds move and they just go and sit in front of the sun. Like a huge umbrella. Right? In this way, they shade Krishna. So they are looking for some favor from Krishna. As he says here, the author, that the clouds are looking for some friendship. So when you offer some service, some good gesture, say, oh, please come. You know, open the car for somebody and say, oh, please come. So you are showing some gesture, please come in, you know, or like that. So when you offering some seva in the form of covering the clouds, shading Krishna, then the clouds are sort of asking for a favor from Krishna. Maybe a glance, maybe a smile. Okay, this time should just look up into the clouds and said, thank you for that. Like that, you know. So he's just looking for a glance, some sort of a response from Krishna, and then the clouds feel happy. So we are made conscious again here that the clouds are not just inanimate, gross objects filled with water vapor. In Vrindavan, as we are also made to understand that the land is Chintamani Dham, everything Vrindavan is conscious. The cloud also is consciously moving deliberately in a direction to cover the sun. It is not just passively moving by the force of the wind here and there. It is not a passive movement like the clouds we see around here. But the clouds of Vrindavan also are conscious clouds, conscious land, conscious water, conscious mountains, conscious grass, conscious. Everything is conscious. Not conscious, but in fact, they are super conscious. They are just not conscious. They are super conscious. Why? Because the super conscious means they are always conscious of Krishna. That is super consciousness, Prabhupada says. Consciousness, super. We are also conscious. I am conscious of my body. But I am not conscious of Krishna. Right? So I am just conscious of my existence. But super consciousness means you are really conscious of Krishna. That is super conscious equal to Krishna consciousness. So, it is wonderful to note that the whole chapter here is talking about the flute only. The gopis glorify Krishna's flute. The whole chapter is talking about Krishna's flute only. How amazing, right? Therefore, Krishna has got so many names connected with the flute. Krishna's names are given by his devotees due to his various transcendental activities. So Murli Dhar or Venu Vadak or Murli Vadak or Bamsi Dhar, Venu Dhari, these are all beautiful names of Krishna concerning his activities of playing the flute. So this makes Krishna very attractive. Not attractive, it makes him all attractive. So, Krishna, the person that he is, the Supreme Person, he is called like that because he is all attractive, right? So, this is the inbuilt, inherent property of Krishna, that he is all attractive. So, when he is playing his flute, then he is all attractive. Everything about Krishna is all attractive, and that's what we want to really focus on in today's discussion also, and also in our overall Krishna consciousness progress, that we are all looking for being attracted to something. That's when you look at ourselves, we understand that, you know, we conduct ourselves in this world. People go to the mall. You want to get attracted to something. For what? To buy. People go to see a movie. Do you want to get attracted to someone? Who? Some actor, some actress. Do you want to attract to some story? Some romance and some violence and some this and some that. People want to buy clothes. You want to get attracted to some color of the fabric. They get attracted to gardens. Because they want to attract it, they get attracted by the beauty of the flowers. We are all looking for getting attracted to something and someone. That is our basic psychophysical nature. Right? That's how we do so many things. We get attracted to some car. I don't like the nano car. I like the Toyota. So, you know, like that. So, you are looking for getting attracted to some sort of a car. Right? So, we all want to get attracted to something. Someone. So, here, the way the Acharyas have presented Krishna is that if you want to get attracted to something or someone, everything you are looking for is there in Krishna. Because, Srila Prabhupada was talking when we were, you know, doing our deity services today. Prabhupada was talking about how he was telling the Americans in one lecture that you Americans have got everything. It's a very strong example of Prabhupada. He said when Prabhupada went to America, now America may be not so great financially, economically, it is a little down now because of so much of, you know, recession and inflation and all that. But when Prabhupada's time was there in 1970s, America was at the top. It was a superpower. Right? And then Americans had so much wealth. So much wealth. It was the wealthiest nation in the world. But then Prabhupada was arguing out very, you know, appropriately, then why are the Americans becoming confused? Why are they becoming disillusioned? Why are they becoming hippies? If America can provide cars and bungalows and technology and so much of comfort and good roads and such amount of immense comfort, you know, life of all sorts of desirable things which money can buy, when everything is being provided to practically everyone and there is hardly any poverty there, no unemployment there, no beggars there, no dirt there, everything is there, then why are Americans not happy? It's a very important example to, you know, ask ourselves also. Why, when everything is being provided to the citizens of America, why are they still unhappy? Why is there so much still violence and rape and there is crime and so much social unrest. Why? Because they don't have Krishna. So they are not satisfied. No matter what you have in this world, you cannot be satisfied till you have Krishna. Right? So we are all looking for, actually, George Harrison, in this beautiful foreword which he wrote for Srila Prabhupada's book, Krishna book, the same book which is referred to in this Bhagavatam series again and again. The foreword was offered by George Harrison because he gave the first sum of donation to print that book for Prabhupada's pleasure. I think it was some $19,000 or something. Yeah, he gave that as initial amount to start the publication because Prabhupada had no money. So he writes the very first line in the foreword. He says, everyone is looking for love. And second line he says, everyone is looking for Krishna. This is this very famous musician's deep realization that everyone is looking for Krishna. How beautiful the realization. You think you're looking for, you know, as I said, for, you know, a good partner, a good mate, a good cloth, a good car, or this, but actually you're looking for Krishna. Because Krishna is the embodiment of all attractive features. If you're looking for a beautiful person, it has to be Krishna. Because there is no one more beautiful than him. And even if somebody you find is beautiful to your eyes, it is not a lasting beauty. And therefore so much of apparent progress of the cosmetic industry, because a desperate attempt by the cosmetic industry to help people to somehow keep that so-called beauty going on. With this surgery and that surgery and facelift and that lift and this lift and Botox injections for the wrinkles and so many things they keep on doing, and so many types of cosmetic to apply of different herbal and peach and kakadi and what they keep on using, all sorts of mango pulp we apply, and chandan and chaneka atta and anything, whatever works to keep me going. For these wrinkles are coming, and some sort of thing on the head to make it look black, desperately looking black, and then people get allergies and all sorts of things. A desperate attempt to save this dwindling so-called beauty, which is not even there, not meant to be there for a long time at all, except for a few years of flashy years of so-called youth, and just vanishes into nothingness. But Krishna's beauty never dwindles. He's always beautiful. So Krishna is having all attractive features. So the acharyas have gone into the great detail about talking about his eyes. Now we like beautiful eyes, don't we? Right? Look, somebody says, wow, look at those eyes. Beautiful eyes. But who has more beautiful eyes than Krishna? Right? The story is there of Dhanurdhar. You know the story of Ramanujacharya's life. The great Lord is going in his palanquin. Sridanganath Swami is going in his palanquin, giving his Padayatra Darshan to everybody in Sri Rangam. And this very attracted man is there, who is attracted to his girlfriend, whom he felt was having beautiful eyes. And maybe she had beautiful eyes. Maybe if all of us looked at that girl, you would also feel like, wow, this is good eyes, you know. So she had good eyes, obviously, because, you know, he was a madman. He was intelligent. He could see that this girl has got beauty, and that beauty towards the girl made him attracted to serve her. So then, he was carrying an umbrella for her. Because again, it was hot sun, so there's no clouds for that girl to shade her beauty. But this man was, attracted to her beauty, and she was carrying an umbrella wherever the girl was going, because she should not, her eyes and, her skin should not get affected by the sun. And Ramacharya was looking and said, wow, everyone looking at the umbrella, at the parade, and everyone's singing songs, and gongs are there, and everything is, all the holy mantras are there, and everyone is looking at the parade of the Lord, and this man is looking only at the girl, and thing like this. Ramacharya was, in one sense, surprised, also maybe perturbed, maybe also amused. I don't know what he felt. He said, oh, look at this fellow, Look, everyone looking at the Lord, and he's looking at this girl. He's so enamored, so attracted. And the natural response of a devotee, of pure devotee, is one of compassion. So I think I would like to show him what is real beauty. So that And he went to his ashram and said, go and call this man, you know, I would like to meet him. So Ramacharya has called you. So he went and said, why were you shading this girl like this? He said, oh, she has such beautiful eyes and I just couldn't draw my eyes off her eyes. He said, do you want to see real beauty? Can I take you somewhere? I said, oh yeah. Will you give up this girl if I show beauty even more glaring and more intoxicating than this? He said, of course. So Ramacharya took him with his own hands and took him to the temple right inside through the 7 gates of Sri Ranganath Mandir. And made them stand there in front of Ranganath Swami. And just like Krishna gave Divya Drishti to Arjun to see what the eyes cannot see. You know, universal form, Virat Swarupa, you know, cannot see. He said, I'm giving you Divya eyes and you see this. My divine form as Virat Swarupa. So also Ramacharya blessed him with divine eyes. He said, see. Then he saw Ranganath Swami. Wow. He was absolutely flabbergasted by that beauty. The Lord, beautiful eyes. This is Mahavishnu. With the Shesha Shaya as Ananta Shesha. One of the Lord's name is Ananta Shayanam. His Lord is lying on Shayana on Ananta. With his heads of, I think, 5 or 6 hoods of Ananta Shesha there. And then he's on these coils of the snake. And this ancient deity of the Lord, worshipped by Lord Brahma since antiquity, he was there with his hands resting on his thighs, beautiful form, golden features, everywhere there's gold. But more than the gold was the eyes. Look at the eyes, wow, this is beautiful. He dropped the idea of going back to the girl immediately because, you know, he had seen Krishna's eyes now. So what more is there to be seen? When you see Krishna, yam labdhva chaparam labham manite nadikam tataha. When you see Krishna, then there is nothing more beautiful to be seen. When you get Krishna, there is nothing more beautiful, no important thing to be had. When you experience Krishna in some minuscule manner also, everything of this world becomes pale. It just becomes pale. Just drops down in its apparent beauty. The illusion is broken. The illusion of the so-called beauty of the world is broken and everything becomes faded out into, becomes pale in front of Krishna. So Krishna's eyes are like that. And then his beautiful feet are described, lotus-like feet. Arjuna, there was a competition once where they were asked to glorify impromptu, like you have various debates and you have impromptu, just, okay, compose something. Like Lord Chaitanya told who's that? Digvijay Pandit, Keshav Kashmiri. Why don't you compose some you know, nice glorification on Ganga? And broom, he just began. And just went on for 2 hours, 3 hours, just saying non-stop like a, you know, raging wind, glorification of Mother Ganga. Just coming out, boom, spontaneously from his heart, inspired by Mother Saraswati. That was the type of people who were there at that time. Now we have to mug things, you know, boom, boom, boom. Even if you cannot, there's nothing comes out spontaneously. You know, you go to exam, 10th standard, 12th standard, you have to, even if you write something, to mug, and then you can write. There's no mugging, there's just spontaneous compositions. So here also, same thing. So they were all writing, right? The judge was, the not a competition, but it is sort of a competition. He said, glorify the Lord's lotus feet. That was a competition. So everyone, all the people who were gathered there, the Brahmins, the scholars, the devotees, the philosophers, everyone was composing various verses immediately on the Lord's, the glory of his lotus feet. They would look at Ranganath Swami's feet and compose immediately. Zup, 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 zup. That. And it was Ramacharya's turn. And then he composed, in the matter of no time, 108 verses, glorifying the Lord's lotus feet. Of course, he won the competition. Yeah? Because he was experiencing the Lord's beauty, the beauty of his feet. So like that, Krishna has got attractive features, his eyes, his nose, his hair. His hair are jet black. More black than any black hair. Usually when you get old, you know, we are worried, oh, now it's becoming grey. Natural hair is black. Unnatural hair is grey. And crazy hair is red, blue, pink, yellow. That is called crazy hair. It could be rainbow color, depending on what is your, to extent of your craziness. You can do various things. But natural hair is black. But Krishna's hair is more black than anybody's hair can ever be. It's like black, but he's blackest. there cannot be anything more in us than in Krishna. If you have black, Krishna has to have blacker hair than you, because he is the supreme. So more black, not more black, most black. So his hair compared to the raven, the crow. There are two types of crows, the city crow which we see and the jungle crow. City crow is gray in color, it's not actually black. When you see a raven, even has a different voice. The way he croaks, quack. What is that called? Quack, crows, what do they do? They crow. They caw. So the raven is a jungle crow. And he is absolutely black. His beak, his eyes, his neck. Our crows have got a little bit of gray ear in their neck and shoulder. But this raven is totally black. And that is a comparison of Krishna's hair. Completely beautiful black hair. No godrej applied. He is God. No, he doesn't need godrej. He is God himself. So, like that, Krishna is all attractive. And so here, if somebody is a musician, what are being described today is, if you are a musician and you want to get attracted to Krishna, then yes, you can have so many musicians, you can play so many fancy music instruments, but nobody can play music better than Krishna. Now, which musician has there in this world who can play any instrument and affect nature? Yeah, maybe there was Tansen was there and he could bring rain, it is said, singing Malhar. That's beautiful. That's nice. However, Krishna, what he is doing here, he can affect Yamuna. He can melt stones. Now, which musician you know in history, Tansen or maybe his guru, whoever he was, how many people can really make a rock melt? Anybody can make rock melt? Anybody can play a flute in such a way, or any music where water is flowing at top speed and the water stops? Just stops. Stunned. The water is stunned. The wind is stunned. There is a place in Vrindavan called as Dhir Samir, where Krishna was playing his flute, where the wind was blowing just like that naturally. And the wind in that portion which was receiving Krishna's flute vibrations, was heard the flute of Krishna, and the wind stopped there. They stopped. Because the wind didn't want to go to the next place and lose. And as you go further, of course, then the sound becomes less. Right? And if you go very far, then you lose the sound. So that wind in that portion was conscious that this is my chance to hear Krishna's flute. And it just stayed there. Stunned by Krishna's beauty. So in this way, any musician, however great he may be, cannot play music better than Krishna. Again, we conclude, Krishna is all attractive. And someone likes to dance, and people have so many dancing rap, and what now they have so many types of dance class formats. All the newer ones are there, and the new age dances are there also. The traditional Kathak and Kathakali and Bharatanatyam, they're all there. Odisha and Kuchipudi and Manipuri. These are the traditional Indian Vedic dances. And now you have all sorts of crazy dances. Right? But even if you like dance, whatever format of dance you want. But can you ever dance better than Krishna? Again, he scores over everybody else. We just, a few chapters ago, we heard about Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. Nobody can dance like that. Everyone needs everyone knows that they require a stable stage to dance. But who can dance on? Anybody can dance on a snake? Even if it's a static snake. Snake is not moving, suppose. Suppose he has 10 hoods and he's not moving. How many people can dance on a stable hood of a snake? Because snake, by his very quality of his skin, is very slippery. Snake skin is not rough like a frog or a toad. The toad or a frog has got rough skin, right? Or a tortoise or like that, rough skin. But snake skin is extremely slippery, right? It shines and it's slippery. So how many people can dance on a snake? And what about the frog? Snake is trying to attack you and kill you. How can you dance on that snake? But Krishna is Krishna. He can do the impossible, right? So he is dancing on an unstable stage, and he just takes such twirls and such steps that even Nataraj, Lord Shiva, is wondering, "Woo, look at this. The greatest dancer in the universe is Nataraj, Lord Shiva. he is very famous for his dance. When he dances, Banasura is playing on the drum for him, and he's playing Damru for him. Lord Shiva loves to dance. He's a dancer. Therefore, you know, we can say so many in our Vedic culture, they depict Shiva as a dancer. You know, he has his mudra of dancing. Right? But Krishna is called as Vrindavana Natvar, the dancer of Vrindavan. And he dances in the hoods of Kaliya, he dances in the land of Vrindavan, and everyone's attracted. The cobra, the peacock. And the peacock is also a great dancer, but when peacock looks at Krishna, the peacock cannot dance because, you know, mesmerized. Absolutely mesmerized. Krishna has such steps that he would make even the greatest dancers bewildered. And Lord Shiva was trying to look at Krishna's steps and said, which dance format is this which my Lord is dancing? How is he dancing? I want to learn those steps which he is dancing with. This is Krishna's original. It is not Bharatanatyam, it is not Kuchipudi, it is Krishna's dance, it is original. It is absolutely his own natural way of dancing. Again, we conclude, Krishna is all attractive, right? Of course, we can go on and on like this, as a great meditation, that each of Krishna's parts of his body is dhoti. Wow, it's all attractive. Even Krishna, when comes as a boar, it's not when Krishna comes as 200 form, as original form, as Bhagavan Krishna, Vrindavan Natavar Krishna, that he's attractive. Even he comes as a boar, a wild boar, he is still all attractive. Let's never forget that. It is not that we are only attracted to Krishna. There are so many devotees of Varahadev who just find Varahadev so attractive. Like nothing else in the world can attract them. But he's in the form of a boar. But they are attracted intensely. Why? Because they are attracted to Krishna. No matter what form he takes, even if on the extreme state he would have to take a form of a cockroach. Now who likes cockroaches in this world? Anybody in this room likes cockroaches? Anybody here? The ladies, usually they start screaming, right? You see a cockroach, yeah! I know people who just scream loud. They just can't take a cockroach. It's one cockroach in the room, they will not be able to sleep in the room. They go to the next room and sleep. Especially if it's a flying cockroach, they get so scared. You know? But even if Krishna were to come as a cockroach, it would be a beautiful cockroach. Because it is Krishna cockroach. Because no matter what form Krishna takes, even as an ant, no one likes ants. But Krishna becomes an ant, it will be a beautiful ant. Because the inherent quality of Krishna is all attractiveness. That is his inherent. Inbuilt in him. That's what he is. He cannot, no matter what he does, he's attractive. No matter what he speaks, it is attractive. No matter what he plays, no matter what he sings, whatever he does is imbued with this quality of being all attractive. Everything he does and everything he speaks, when he speaks, his sound of his speech is so melodious. The language, the linguistics, the words which he uses are so beautiful. Everyone's attracted to those words. You know, Nanda Maharaj is doing his yajna and he wants to do Indra Puja, you know, this traditional thing which his ancestors did and his ancestors did and his ancestors did. Even Braja did that for millions of years maybe. And Krishna comes in and in a beautiful voice and very convincing, he said, Nanda Maharaj, why are you doing this? Ultimately, you know, we don't depend on Indra because Indra is, you know, well, he may be doing a lot of good things for this world, but, you know, he wastes his rain on the ocean also and he gives rain to the mountains also, but they don't need it. Right? So it's not really Indra, because, you know, Indra just gives you what karma, you know, creates. You know, that Indra has to supply the response to those karma. When good karma is created by the world, then responds by giving rain. So, you know, he's just basically there to just supply your karma. He's not really in control in one sense. The control is coming from the karma you perform. And Nandamala said, yeah, looks makes sense. So Krishna was speaking karma mimamsa philosophy, which is not the highest philosophy, but he could convince Nanda Maharaj. So beautiful his speech was. He said, yeah, so Karna, what should we do then? What is your suggestion? Why don't we worship Govardhan Hill, you see? Because it is because of the hill that we get all our good grass, and now we get all our caves, and we get our, you know, water, and all the minerals, and all the jewels. Everything coming from the Govardhan Hill. Let's put the whole focus on Govardhan Hill. He said, yeah, makes sense. Come on, let's do that. So then everyone is going to Govardhan Hill. So Krishna can convince Nanda Maharaj by sweet voice to do whatever he wants. That is Krishna's convincing nature. Very attractive, right? Somebody goes for a business deal, you can convince any client to buy a product the way you present it. I say, hey, you know, we like that. So yeah, this guy's got a lot of convincing power, you see? You send him. Then they can be good marketing managers, you know? They can negotiate and get orders from anywhere. So Krishna can negotiate and can convince anybody of anything. Like that. So Krishna is always, in everything he does, is always all attractive. And of course, we like to conclude by saying that the yes, Krishna's features are all attractive. And the most attractive part of Krishna's all attractive feature is his beautiful relationship with his devotees. That is probably the most attractive thing for all sadhakas to meditate upon. When he performs his pastimes with his devotees, that is superbly attractive. Imagine his relationship with the Pandavas, for example. When he plays the role of a friend, what kind of a friend he becomes? Now, we also have friends here in this world. All of us have, everyone here in the room has some friends, maybe two or three or four, maybe more. But when Krishna participates in a friendship, in a relationship of friendship, what kind of friend he becomes? Now, he'll become your chauffeur for you. Now, which friend of ours will become the chauffeur? Yeah, there may be. But chauffeur on the war field, not driving you from, you know, Kolaba to Bombay Central Station for dropping you at the, you know, at the station, not like that. When you're in a war, you know you're going to die practically, you know, you're in a war. I'll become your charioteer. If you are fighting and if you are in danger with those Kauravas fighting against you, then I want to be there to protect you as your charioteer. And I will run your chariot for you. And I will fight as much as required, as much as you want. Okay, I won't take any weapons because that's my vow. Otherwise I'll be siding with, you know, I won't take any sides, but I'll drive a chariot for you. And as a charioteer, what all Krishna did, he was keeping a track of the whole thing for Arjun. He said he knows to go left or right, or he knows exactly where to drive, you know. Very attractive. And then when Karna was shooting his powerful arrows to kill Arjun with just vengeance, such ferocity, such hate. At one time, as you know the story, he had a Shakti Ban given by Indra for in a return for what he had given to Indra back. His Kavacha he had surrendered to Indra. And Indra said, okay, you take the Shakti Ban, you can use it only once. It is use and throw, disposable. You can use it only once. You won't use this weapon again. So then Shakti is like his last opportunity he had. And this is something which is invincible. If I play this on somebody, he has to die. That's it. No, not even the gods or demigods can stop me from killing if I use this on someone. So that was his absolute last weapon for his arch enemy, Arjun. Right? And then Krishna sends Ghatotkach to fight in such a ferocious manner in the night, in the evening. It's already sunset. Ooh, the conch is already blown, but the fighting is going on now. As the fight goes on, it becomes dark because there's no sun and the demons become more powerful. Ghatotkach is like creating havoc in the Kaurava army. He's killing by millions, by just huge steps. He was just eating people, crushing them, pulverizing everybody who was there. And Duryodhana is shocked. His whole army in one night is going to be finished. And he shouts at Karna, what are you doing, you know? You rascal, why don't you do something about this? And looking at Duryodhana's desperation, Karna has got no choice, because the whole army will be finished with this one man. Not one man, he wasn't a man, he was a monster. He was a monster, he was a demon, you know, in a sense, not demon, but sort of a Rakshasa, born from Hidimba. So then the last thing he has is his Shakti, and he, in desperation, just to save Duryodhana from embarrassment, and from, he uses this Shakti on Ghatotkach. Krishna did that. Krishna was very happy. He was very happy that Ghatotkach is dead now. Wow, my devotee is saved. You know, so Krishna has orchestrated the whole thing. There was a Vaishnavi weapon was there. Again, Karna shooting that. Very powerful. And Krishna has got up. And it took the weapon on his body. Now, which friend will be able to, willing to die and take weapons on his body for somebody else? Krishna taking so many weapons on his body. Because when you fight... You have to kill the person who's fighting, but it is easier to kill him if you first kill his charioteer. Right? For that, his power is his chariot. He can run, he can escape, he can fight, he can hide, he can do so many things by his fast movements of the chariot. But you kill the horses and kill the charioteer, the guy is paralyzed. Because, you know, he has nowhere to go. His machinery is gone. Then he has to stand in one place. When you stand, you can be a good fixed target to shoot and kill. But Krishna was just racing here and there. He couldn't be killed by anybody. Right? So this is the type of relationship Krishna has had with the Pandavas. And we can go on narrating so many, we all can talk about this, right? His relationship with his devotee is so beautiful, right? He's called as Partha Sakhe, because of his all-attractive friendship with Arjun. So in this way we realize, you know, that all our requirements, physical requirements, especially emotional requirements, spiritual needs which we have, all can be fulfilled when we hear about Krishna. When we eat prasadam, good prasadam, then our need for good food is satisfied. When we dress Krishna nicely, make him look beautiful like he is looking today, Gaurnitai, Radha Gopinath, Gopalji looking beautiful, right? When you see those beautiful features, I don't mind all these young people here. You don't mind wearing white clothes, which look so bland, non-attractive, white. Huh? They're not bothered about that, because they're so happy seeing Krishna, who's looking so beautiful. So bother about seeing Krishna, you know, more attractive than seeing ourselves more attractive, right? So this way, this is our conviction that we want to, by just chanting Hare Krishna mantra and serving the Vaishnavas, serving Krishna and Guru, our inherent nature, our intrinsic constitutional nature to be attracted to Krishna will be aroused, will be awakened, will be evoked. And then we will find everything about Krishna attractive. When jaundice is removed, you can again start tasting sugar as sweet. Till the jaundice is there, everything is bitter. Even sugar cane, candy sugar, the best food, pizzas, everything is bitter. Right? But when the jaundice is gone, again hunger is there, so you like all the food. Right? Similarly, when the jaundice of avidya is removed from our heart, from our eyes, from our senses, from our intelligence, again our senses will be attracted to Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha, they'll be attracted to Krishna strongly. They'll be eager to hear, they'll be eager to listen, to see the Lord. Like this lady in Jagannath Puri, who was climbing on Lord Chaitanya's shoulder to see Krishna in the form of Lord Jagannath. Now, you know, imagine that's a very, you know, you see a lot of people, a lot of bheed in Tirupati Balaji or, you know, in Shinaji, you go to, you know, so many temples. You go, there's a lot of beaters there, but nobody really climbs on each other's shoulder to see. It's very rare to have that sort of experience. But this lady was old, and she just was so desperate to see Jagannath, and everyone was there, all people were tall, maybe she was bent or whatever. Everyone was tall in front of her, she couldn't see Jagannath. This is the tallest person I can see, Lord Chaitanya. Because he thought he was 7 feet tall. He's the tallest person, I should climb on his shoulder. Then I can see Jagannath, unhindered vision, I can see him. So he climbed on Lord Jagannath's shoulder. He said, "What are you doing?" Govinda was very angry with her. Mahaprabhu said, "Don't worry. It's all right. Just appreciate her eagerness to see the Lord. I wish I had such eagerness." Like that. So in this way, her senses were attracted to Jagannath. Because she was a pure devotee of Jagannath. She wanted to see Jagannath desperately. Nothing else mattered. So we are all hoping and waiting for that day when we'll be purified sufficiently, when our inherent attraction for Krishna will be again evoked. By hearing these pastimes of Sridhar Goswami's description of Krishna's flute, we will be hoping that one day we can also hear that flute. That flute is calling Krishna, everybody back home, back to Godhead. So, like that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions? Comments. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.